Chapter 13 of the Council He Held with His Chief Men Concerning Their Reception. The king, hearing these words, answered that he was both willing and bound to receive the faith which Paulinus taught, that he would confer about it with his chief friends and counselors, to the end that if they also were of his opinion, they might altogether be consecrated to Christ in the font of life. Paulinus consenting, the king did as he said, for, holding a council with the wise men, he asked of every one in particular what he thought of this doctrine hitherto unknown to them, and the new worship of God that was preached. The chief of his own priests, Coifi, immediately answered him, King, consider what this is which is now preached to us. For I verily declare to you what I have learnt beyond doubt, that the religion which we have hitherto professed has no virtue in it and no profit. For none of your people has applied himself more diligently to the worship of our gods than I. And yet there are many who receive greater favors from you, and are more preferred than I, and are more prosperous in all that they undertake to do or to get. Now if the gods were good for anything, they would rather forward me, who have been careful to serve them with greater zeal. It remains, therefore, that if upon examination you find those new doctrines, which are now preached to us, better and more efficacious, we hasten to receive them without any delay. Another of the king's chief men, approving of his wise words and exhortations, added thereafter, The present life of man upon earth, O king, seems to me, in comparison with that time which is unknown to us, like to the swift flight of a sparrow through the house wherein you sit at supper in winter, with your aldermen and thanes, while the fire blazes in the midst, and the hall is warmed, but the wintry storms of rain or snow are raging abroad. The sparrow, flying in at one door and immediately out at another, whilst he is within, is safe from the wintry tempest. But after a short space of fair weather, he immediately vanishes out of your sight, passing from winter into winter again. So this life of man appears for a little while, but of what is to follow or what went before we know nothing at all. If, therefore, this new doctrine tells us something more certain, it seems justly to deserve to be followed. The other elders and king's counselors, by divine prompting, spoke to the same effect. But Coifi added that he wished more attentively to hear Paulinus' discourse concerning the God whom he preached. When he did so, at the king's command, Coifi, hearing his words, cried out, This long time I have perceived that what we worshipped was not, because the more diligently I sought after truth in that worship, the less I found it. But now I freely confess that such truth evidently appears in this preaching as can confer on us the gifts of life, of salvation, and of eternal happiness. For which reason my counsel is, O king, that we instantly give up to ban and fire those temples and altars which we have consecrated without reaping any benefit from them. In brief, the king openly assented to the preaching of the gospel by Paulinus, and renouncing idolatry, declared that he received the faith of Christ. And when he inquired of the aforesaid high priest of his religion, who should first desecrate the altars and temples of their idols, with the precincts that were about them, he answered, I, for who can more fittingly than myself destroy those things which I worshipped in my folly, for an example to all others, through the wisdom which has been given me by the true God? Then immediately, in contempt of his vain superstitions, he desired the king to furnish him with arms and a stallion, that he might mount and go forth to destroy the idols. For it was not lawful before for the high priest either to carry arms, or to ride on anything but a mare. Having, therefore, girt a sword about him, with a spear in his hand, he mounted the king's stallion, and went his way to the idols. The multitude, beholding it, thought that he was mad, but as soon as he drew near the temple, he did not delay to desecrate it by casting into it the spear which he held. And rejoicing in the knowledge of the worship of the true God, he commanded his companions to tear down and set on fire the temple, with all its precincts. This place where the idols once stood is still shown, not far from York, to the eastward, beyond the river Derwent, and is now called Godwindingaham, where the high priest, by the inspiration of the true God, profaned and destroyed the altars which he had himself consecrated.